page 1315, page 1315. We'll read together just the 10th verse of this passage, and then we'll turn back to the first chapter of this book and read some other verses. Shall we stand, please? All of us standing for the reading of God's precious word. Join me on the 10th verse, and then I'll instruct you where to turn next. Ready? As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now turn to the first chapter of 1 Peter, and beginning with the 3rd verse, we'll read through the 9th. The 7th verse in this case is the text verse. But we'll read verses 3 through 9. We'll read them responsively. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom through now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the last verse also, let's read it together. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And let's pray. Father, we've looked forward to this day now for 6 days. Thank you for Sundays. Thank you for this Sunday. Now, it matters not so much what's been accomplished in the past, although much has been accomplished and we praise thee, but what matters now is now. And so we pray that you'd bless this service, speak to every heart, and prepare us for the message, and prepare thy messenger. In Jesus' name, amen. My text this morning is as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. My text would be that little line, the manifold grace of God. I'm preaching this morning on that text. That is not the title of my message. I'll give it to you later. You'll find it in the message. But the text is the manifold grace of God. Our Heavenly Father, Thou hast brought us once again to this place. And there's no way in the world that one man could stand here and be the filler of all the needs of all the people in this room. But there's a way that that man could be so possessed with the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit through him could meet those needs. Please, Spirit of God, make me what my people need this morning as I do my best to be used of thee so that they will have their needs met. There's some who are too weak to face tomorrow. They need strength. There's some that do not know how they can pay the bills tomorrow. They need faith. There's some do not know if they'll be alive tomorrow. They need help. There's some who are fighting the battle against the evil one. They need resistance. Meet with us today in a sweet and wonderful and blessed way. In Jesus' name, amen. There's so many things that I enjoy about the Bible. And as I've said so often, I've never enjoyed the Bible
as much as I enjoy it today. The passing of every week, I enjoy this book more than I ever have before. It's amazing how you can go to the same trough all of a lifetime and never realize all that's there. I would find it easy to just dwell on the doctrines of the Bible. It would not be hard for me to be tempted to become what they call erroneously a deeper life preacher, because I could dwell on the great truths and doctrines of the Bible. I'd love to preach the rest of my life just on the doctrine of justification. I'd love to preach, as I did last summer, 15 consecutive Sundays or more, maybe 18, on the love of God. But I realize that on occasion I have to stop the great doctrinal truths and come back and realize that there are people in the auditorium that have broken hearts, burdens and needs and sorrows and heartaches. And occasionally I just come back to remind you that God's grace is sufficient. This morning, that's what I plan to do. I felt led all week long. In fact, last Sunday night, I felt that I needed to preach on the grace of God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. However, I could not find the right text. I did not know exactly what slant to take or what light to shine on the subject of the grace of God. Not because of limited truths about the grace of God, but because of the multitudes of truths about the grace of God. Where do you start when you preach on grace? What aspect of it do you use? And so I began to search the scriptures about grace. I got the Cruden's Concordance, knowing only one thing. I was supposed to preach on the grace of God this morning. But what verse and what aspect of the grace of God? And so I began to read all the verses I could find in the Bible about the grace of God. And I read many, many passages. I came down to 1 Peter 4:10, the one I read just a minute ago. And I somehow, though it's not one of the prettiest verses on the grace of God, I was arrested by that verse. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. They got to wondering what that word manifold means. And so I looked it up. And I was amazed to find what it means. The word manifold means multicolored. Multicolored. Many-colored. And it said we're stewards of the manifold grace of God, the many-colored grace of God. And to be honest with you, I almost had a spell. The many-colored grace of God. Brother, it doesn't matter what the testing is. There's always a hue of the grace of God that'll satisfy your need. No wonder he said, my grace is sufficient, because it's a many-colored grace. Yet, that word manifold sounded strange to me. I'm sorry, familiar to me. And I... It arrested me. And I thought, now, where have I seen that word manifold, other than when I was putting a manifold gasket on a car one time? Where have I seen that word manifold before? And I began to think, where is it? The manifold grace of God. And when I found out the multicolored grace of God, I wanted to find out what else was multicolored, because I knew that the word manifold was somewhere else in the Bible. And it dawned on me, it's in 1 Peter. Chapter 1 and verse 6, just a few words back. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And I did shout. I did. I had a spell. I said, bless God,
Yeah, sure. The devil attacks us through manifold testings and manifold temptations. But he also, just a few verses later, says, I also, not only are you attacked with a multicolored, many-colored temptations, but he said, I'll meet the devil and his many-colored temptations with the many-colored grace to face those temptations with. And Manna had a spell. I'm sure I woke the fellow up beside me in the next room in the motel as I just had a spell. And I said, thank God, his grace is sufficient. And it just felt like testifying somebody about the grace of God. Sure, temptations are many-colored. And they come in all sizes and shapes and all the bright colors and dark colors and glittering colors. And the testings come from every side of the child of God. But thank God for many-colored temptation. There's also many-colored grace. And I cannot testify this morning of all the colors of the grace of God, because I have not known all the colors of testing. But I can testify this, that what few colors of testing I have encountered in my life, I've always found that there were just as many colors of the grace of God. When the great testing of hunger came, God's grace was sufficient. When the charcoal testing of poverty came, God's grace was sufficient. When the bright, shiny testing and temptation of worldly pleasures came, when I was a teenage lad, thank God, his grace was sufficient. And I got thinking about that. And I got to thanking God for my teenage years. Sure, I was tempted like you're tempted. And sure, I was tested like teenagers are tested. But I couldn't help but thank God because of a praying mother and a godly pastor and faithful Christian workers. Thank God for every temptation of youth. There is the grace of God that comes with a color that can match that temptation. I thank God when the dark, seductive temptation of the temptress came, his grace was sufficient. When the black testing of death came, when I placed my hands on the cold face of my father, realizing that unless a miracle took place as he dropped from the sawhorse on which he was standing, hanging drywall on the ceiling of a new house, maybe his soul was in the torments of hell. As I've said it so often, as I stood and looked at his face, his body, by the way, what's left of it's out here at our mausoleum right now, but I looked at his face, and as I saw those people last Thursday afternoon reach down and kiss their daddy's face, I remembered when my lips touched the brow of my father. I was shocked. It was as cold as a stone in the wintertime in the outdoors. And while I was standing there, I felt a touch on my arm right here. I reached around to see who it was. There was nobody there. But I felt fingers squeezing and a hand on my arm. I saw nobody there. Nobody was there. It was the hand of Christ. His grace is sufficient. I don't know your burden this morning, but I know whatever color burden you have, there is a corresponding grace to match it. I do not know this morning what color your testing is, but I know there is a corresponding color of grace to match it. I do not know what your temptation is this morning, but know this, I know there's a corresponding color of grace to match it. And I know for the manifold, multifold, myriadfold temptations and colors of temptations that come our way and testing that come our way, I know God's grace is sufficient. And I stand as your pastor this morning, as I've stood for this quarter of a century, to say to you, whose hearts are broken because of sin, whose hearts are broken because of temptation, whose hearts are broken because of testing, whose hearts are broken because of death, I say to you, as I've said for a quarter of a century, his grace is sufficient, and whatever color of the testing is. is. Thank God. Thank God.
There's also a color of the grace, the many-colored grace of God. Thank God today when the cloudy, dark testing of loneliness came, His grace was sufficient. I thank God when the dingy shades of homesickness came, His grace was sufficient. I thank God when the deep blue of my father leaving our home, His grace was sufficient. I thank God when the bright flames of doubt came when I was a freshman, University of Texas. I began to doubt Mama's Bible and began to doubt Mama's faith. And I got on my knees and read this Bible all the way through, on my knees. I thank God His grace was once again sufficient. I thank God when the deep purple of heartbreak came, His grace was sufficient. I thank God when the deep blends of blue of 25 years ago, when I became pastor here, and the battles we had to fight, and misunderstandings, and some were caused by, well, it doesn't matter what they're caused by, but I'm sure I had my part in it because of inexperience. But thank God, it doesn't matter what the test is. His grace is sufficient. For every dark temptation, there's a corresponding many-colored grace. And for every moment of testing, there's a corresponding color of grace. And sometimes His grace is an exciting yellow, and it makes you want to shout. Sometimes I get thinking about the grace of God as I did in my room this past week, and I just had a spell and jumped up and down on the bed. And I feel sorry for you folks that never get that way. I really do. I feel sorry for you folks that never do. The grace of God never comes in its bright and joyous and gay yellow and orange and the bright happy colors and makes you want to say, thank God for His grace. Thank God for His grace. And sometimes it comes in a peaceful green where I don't shout. I just sit there and look at His face and adore Him and say, You're wonderful and I love You and thank You for Your grace. And sometimes it comes in a listening red when I just want to charge hell with a squirt gun. I just want to just, boy, say, devil, get out of the way. Here I come because of the wonderful grace of God. And sometimes it comes in an azure blue when I just want to weep for joy. And I don't understand it sometimes. Sometimes, and that's what's good about the grace of God, sometimes it comes and it makes you want to shout and you jump up and down and say, Woo! Glory to God. And sometimes you want to sing, My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the folly of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, Thou, if ever I love Thee, my Jesus is now. And sometimes the grace of God makes you want to weep and smile while you weep. And sometimes He comes in a feisted topaz that makes you want to holler and just blubber all over. I don't care what the testing is today. I don't care. And I've sat in my study this week and I've taken the people as they've come like an army. And I've heard, oh, if you heard what I heard this week. If you could hear what the devil does to people. If you knew the heartbreak of some little boys and girls in this room today, you'd never complain again about your problem. If you knew what some ladies are facing this week in this room, you'd never complain about your little problem. I went home last night, and on the way home as I was driving, I said, Dear God, how do those people take it? I know how you take it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I don't care. And I can't tell you the worst ones. I can't tell you the worst ones. But I don't care what the testing is. Is your daddy's body just getting acclimated to the silent city of the dead? His many-colored grace will find a ray that'll give you exactly what you need. Is your baby not developing as he should? Today, one of our dearest families has a little baby. And, 19, 20 months old, can't sit up yet. One of the sweetest young couples in this church and one of the dearest families this church has. And I was talking to the grandmother this week about it, and she was telling me about the baby and how sweet the baby is. Oh, let me tell you something. There's a God in heaven. And let me tell you something. He is a God of grace. And let me tell you something. He does supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And let me tell you something. His grace is amazing. For every shadow of testing, and every color that comes from His manifold temptation and manifold testing, there's a corresponding color. And I will tell you something. Little couple with that little child that's not developing, let me tell you, Jesus will become sweeter to you than He ever would have been if you had not known the testing. And salvation will be more real in this book, more precious to you, if you'll just lean heavily upon the marvelous, many-colored grace of God. Is the surgeon's knife waiting for you this week? May I say His grace is sufficient. Did cancer cause you to leave to have a mastectomy? My heart has been grieved lately about many ladies in our church who, and I won't be to be careful as I use the words, of course, but many ladies in our church, and maybe there's not a way that we men can understand this, but many of our ladies have had to face this awful, awful testing, and what a blessing many of them have been. I want to say this. I've never known that particular color of testing, but there's a color of grace that'll come and counteract it. I've never known a little baby that couldn't walk. I've never followed a hearse to the silent city of the dead as my mother has and made flesh of my own flesh in the grave. I've never walked back home to find an empty crib and a little bronze shoe up on the mantel and a picture beside it. I've never gotten the news that my boy had a wreck and lost his leg and lies in a hospital today with only one leg in his youth. I've never heard it. But I want to tell you something. I know enough about testing to know that there's not a testing that the devil offers you or puts in front of you, but what there is a corresponding hue in the rainbow of God's grace. You nervously wait for your cancer checkup. This week, I talked to Brother Fisk this week. I said, how's Darlene? He said, fine, but said she goes back for a cancer checkup every 3 or 4 months. And you know how she must be. And how others, you nervously wait for it? His grace is sufficient. Has your child disappointed you? Has it come in that form of a testing? His grace, His many-colored grace, is sufficient. Are you lonely living alone? Is your child attacked by the awful dread disease of leukemia? Grace is the eternal rainbow of hope that stretches across the most ominous of earthly clouds. You know, that's one reason why it's wonderful to grow older. I feel sorry for young people, people down 50, 51, kids like that. I really feel sorry. I wonder sometimes, Brother Larry, I wonder how I preach when I was 35. I really do. I wonder, before I'd grown to love people like I love you and before I'd grown to share the burdens of people and understand the Word of God, and sometimes I want to get and go back and apologize to everybody I ever pastored before. And I'm sure when I'm 70, I want to go back and apologize to you because of how little I'll think then. I know now. But it's wonderful to grow older because you find more days and more ways to see God's grace. I see a new color in His grace every day. I see a new hue in the rainbow of grace every day. I see a new strength for a new weakness. I see a new sufficiency for a new need. I see a new power for the new weakness. I see a new victory for the new battle. I see a new color for the new temptation and the new testing. And all over this room this morning, I know. I know you don't know, but I know. I know the heartaches. I know the burdens. Could I remind you of the manifold grace of God? I used to wonder when I was a kid preacher what David meant when he said in the psalm, I will praise thee more and more. I used to wonder. It looks like to me when you get older you wouldn't shout as much. You sort of settle down a little bit. Hasn't worked that way with me. When I was a young preacher, I never shouted. Never did. Hollered and screamed and scathed and scolded and rebuked, but never shouted. But I said, you cast out any demons? No, I cast out a few deacons years ago, but never any demons. I never shouted. Older I get, I think I know why David's psalms, as he got older, the last psalm said, bless the Lord, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Earlier psalms didn't. Why? Said you why? Because the more times you face a battle, the more times you see the unseen captain. And the more times a different color of temptation or testing comes, the more times you see a corresponding color of the grace of God. And brother, if you know no testing, you know no grace. And no wonder David could stand with his hair white as the snow of the Christmas morning, with his shoulders drooped because of many years of toil, his brow furrowed because of many battles, his face wrinkled because of many moons, his hands palsied because they carried the load so many years, his feet walking an unsure path. He doesn't walk with the spring he used to have in his face or his step. He doesn't have the bright shine of youth on his face he once had, nor does he have the ability to run, leap like a hart. He can no longer take a bear in his hands and kill it. No longer can he take a lion in his hands and kill him. And no Goliath will ever fall because prey to his sling again. He's old. David says, praise ye the Lord. He says, everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Everything on the earth, praise the Lord. Everything above the earth, praise the Lord. All the things beneath you. He said, everything that breathes. He said, come on, you laughing hyenas, praise the Lord. He said, come on, you cockroaches, you're breathing, aren't you? Praise the Lord. Come on, you mice, running across the room, you're breathing, praise the Lord. Hey, come on, you rattlesnakes, praise God. He said, I want everything that have breath to praise God. Why? Because David had lived and found that God's grace was sufficient. His grace was sufficient. And so, where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. And as you walk with Him and talk with Him and live with Him and live for Him and work with Him and work for Him and work with Him, I'll guarantee you, every time you come to a valley, there'll be a special light of His rainbow shining upon the valley. And every time it seems like you don't know how you're going to pay the bills, there'll be a certain grace that comes, a certain hue and a certain gleam of the rainbow of grace will come your way. And I'll guarantee you this. I'll say this in closing. I'll guarantee you, listen to me, the people in this room this morning who are facing the biggest financial reversals in the next few days, you'll praise God more than anybody else in this room. I'll guarantee you. And I'll guarantee you folks this morning who are facing the surgeon's knife will be richer for it. And I'll guarantee you folks that are facing the tempter's breath will be richer for it. And I'll guarantee you, you folks that have gone into the valley of the shadow. The boy's got leukemia. I'll tell you, when that little boy who used to go to church here until a few weeks ago who had Hodgkin's disease would stand in line outside my office door, little boy, 11, 12, 13 years of age, one of the finest little fellows you ever meet, stand outside my office door by himself. I'd get it, the line had come, and I'd come to him, and he'd walk in. I'd say, what can I do for you, son? He'd say, Brother House, would you pray for me? I'm not feeling real well this week. Would you pray for me? And one day he came in, and he said, Brother House, would you pray God to let me live a normal life? Would you pray God to let me be an adult someday? I cannot tell you why a boy that age is attacked by Hodgkin's disease. I cannot tell you why little children are taken from our church nursery and their little bodies are placed in a box and put in baby land. I cannot tell you why the one with whom you've shared your life suddenly is taken away and is empty place at the table. I cannot tell you why your son was in an accident has lost for all of his life the use of one of his legs. I cannot tell you why your little boy does not walk as other little boys do. When he should be running, he can't even sit up. I cannot tell you that. But I've told you, the first sermon I ever preached here 25 years ago, I told you, his grace was sufficient. And I tell you today, though I don't understand the trials and heartaches and burdens of life, I do know this. You'll never find one. But what God has a color of grace to match it. I guarantee you. He was a vegetable. He was a sailor, wicked as a sailor could be. Life was wrecked and ruined by alcohol, never the kind of a sin that man could know. Down and down and down the old sailor went till he got to the bottom. And they said he was just a vegetable. His mind was affected, never been normal again. And then somebody told him about the grace of God. And old sailor John Newton picked up his pen and wrote, "Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath led me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. His grace is sufficient. Our Heavenly Father, once again we've taken the burdens off our shoulders, placed there by the burdens of others. Once again we've tried to get in their yoke with them and help them pull the plow. I cannot know how they feel. I cannot know. But I know that your grace is sufficient. And I praise you today that though temptations are multicolored, so is grace. Manifold grace for manifold temptations. Manifold grace for manifold testing. Manifold grace for manifold burdens. Manifold grace, many-colored, multicolored grace. And God bless our precious people today, and may they live and bathe in the sunshine of the grace of God. And may the rainbow of grace be visible to them today in whatever phase of the storm they dwell.